Blog Talk Radio.
And hallelujah, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to a one-day edition of the Preacher and the Miracle Man Show here on this beautiful Wednesday here in Michigan. This is the first time since last Wednesday, actually, that we've been over 70 degrees here in Midland. Been kind of cloudy at times, rainy at times. It's only a couple different days, but one of the days, that Saginaw Bay was just throwing one of its tantrums, and the wind was coming out of the northeast, and that kept our temperatures down in the 50s, where other parts of Michigan were up in the 70s. Like Flint, Detroit, Ann Arbor, and other parts of southern Michigan, as well as up to the north-northwest, places like Cadillac, Traverse City, Gaylord, etc. But praise God, we got the summer weather back, and live here in Midland, it is 82 beautiful degrees. Very beautiful. Nice clear sky. Still coming through the window a little bit. Yep. The humidity is very low. So the heat and the temperature feels like is actually lower than the temperature. As when you go over 80 degrees, you can start measuring the heat index. And right now it's 82 degrees, feels like 80. And that's what we have. And for your Memorial weekend, Friday looks to be sunny and nice, high in the mid-80s. For Saturday, partly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high in the mid-80s, lows in the low to mid-60s. Sunday, sunny, nice, high, mid-80s. And Monday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. And that is your forecast. Looks like a good weekend to go to the beach. Even though the beach, the hot dogs, the Indy 500, and much of this other stuff is not ultimately with what Memorial Day weekend is about. It is totally fine to do the beach, to do the hot dogs, to watch some sports in the process. I'm going to do at least a couple of those things. Probably going to go to the beach, if the weather permits. Saturday, and then I am going to listen to the Tigers, possibly Indy 500. The true reason of that we celebrate Memorial Day is to remember the people, the troops, and all the different forces. Marines, Air Force, Navy, Army, National Guard, the Reserves, all the different groups of the U.S. military, every one of them who died and sacrificed their life for their country. That is what a Memorial Day is about. It's about memorial, memory, remembering those who sacrificed their lives for our country out in the battlefield in times of war. Whether it was here in this country in the old times or these days, like Afghanistan or in Iraq when we were still in Iraq. That's what Memorial Day is about, taking time, remembering those who gave up their life for their country, as they decided, my country is more important to me than my life. Let me rephrase that. They decided they loved their country so much that they wanted to fight for it. And they just cared about their country. Those should be our true heroes. Is these Marines, those who died. Yes, I know death is sad, but hey, sometimes someone's got to sacrifice so you can reap the benefits. And that's what's happened with America. And so this weekend, I would strongly, I'm not just going to implore you. I mean, I'll say it this way. I strongly urge you this weekend to take a little time. Think about and remember those who gave their life. I think about a student I went to high school with. He graduated in 2009, a year before I did. I forget whether I knew him or not, but his name was Aaron. In 2011, he died in Iraq, serving for our country. I forget what happened, but he got killed. And so I kind of think about his family. And if you got family members who have sons, daughters, brothers that are not here because they gave up their life fighting for this country, just remember, you know, and just take time to reflect in this idea, too, is that America did not just come for free. Someone had to give up. Things had to happen. Excuse me, I don't want to try to sound like I'm talking about the Fourth. We're talking about Memorial Day. And so these guys who fought for our country, it's really important that we remember them this weekend. And we don't just make it about grilling our hot dogs, going on a boat ride, going to the beach in the southern U.S., the pools, You know, watching the Indy 500 and all this other fun outdoor stuff. But make it the time where you think about the people who died for this country. That's the part of Memorial Day that we should be really thinking about. And something that is kind of related, back last year when we had that incident where all these teams had players who were protesting, kneeling, and what have you, during the playing of the anthem, I kind of came on and addressed, and Preacher Man, we had a guest on who talked to us a little bit and that, but the league, and I was not only proud, I was pleasantly surprised that the league actually did this. The NFL came out today, and here's what they decided. NFL players who kneel on the field will be subject to penalty for kneeling on the field during the playing of the anthem. They'll be subject to penalty. Penalties that the owner can decide. Owners can decide. So they're not necessarily going to get 4-game suspension, 6-game suspension, $300,000 fine. It's going to be for the owners to decide what they get. So maybe it could be, Neil, sit out half a game. Or, Neil, pay a $50,000 fine. But it's sad that it got to this point. But I'm very glad that the NFL has taken a stand. The league did say if they really want to protest, they can do it by just staying in the locker room. As the clause that says they must be out on the field is being taken out of the rule book. So, I really want to thank the NFL for doing this and taking a stand. You know, so makes me feel a bit better so that I can just focus on what matters most about football, and that is the game. As do you miss, you may ask me, do you miss football? Here's what I would say to that. Sort of. And you're thinking, Miracle Man, why do you only say sort of? Because even though it's been a while since we've had football, I'm ready to have summer first. So it's kind of the idea of taking things one thing at a time. And I don't want summer to rush by extra fast just so we can start watching football. And by the way, there's preseason football in August, but it's not the same as regular football. So, folks, here's where I am. I'm here at McDonald's at 1711 South Saginaw Road. I'm across the street from Kmart, northwest of a Marathon Admiral gas station, and southeast of a Disability Network of MidMichigan office. And here, kind of in the middle of the restaurant, along the wall. And you can come in, you can say hi to me. And so, it'll be good. But if you don't have the McDonald's app on your phone and you love good deals, please get the app. As there are good money-saving deals in the app. For example, save $2 on a purchase of $10 or more. I've never used that one, but that one's an option. Or Free Pie or Sunday. Now, this one is a local deal. I don't know if it's all nationwide or not, but until Sunday, one time this week, you can get a free pie or an ice cream sundae with the purchase of a 10-piece chicken McNuggets. So that deal can come in handy this weekend. Keep going out to get some McNuggets, but you also want an ice cream. You can do that. McDonald's app. There are also other great deals you can find there within the app, but you got to create an account and register so you can get access to these great deals. And no deal needed for this baby. Any size soft drink at McDonald's is still just $1. As part of the $1, $2, $3 value menu at participating McDonald's. Note that tax, that prices in prices may vary in certain circumstances. Like a McDonald's, for example, that might be right next to Cedar Point, or one that's in an airport, or one in certain malls that still have them. Some of that have them still do the 1-2-3 menu. But the 1-2-3 menu has only been around for 5 months, but nonetheless, other things that are on the $1-2-3 menu besides just the sodas, you can get for $1 a McChicken, a cheeseburger, a sausage burrito. For $2, you can get 2 crispy chicken tenders. You can, surprisingly, you can get a double cheeseburger at so many locations is actually under $2. And double cheeseburger is not on the $1-2-3 menu. I was just throwing that out there. But those are $2. And then crispy tenders, 2 crispy tenders, sausage McGriddle, I forget whether that's 2 or 3, but for $3, you can get a Happy Meal. You can get a classic-style chicken sandwich. And a couple other things. So you get to choose. Available at McDonald's near you. Prices may vary. Tax extra. Sorry about that, but folks, now I'm going to let you know kind of what the plan is for tonight. And that plan is, we're going to read Numbers chapter 22 tonight, and then we're going to read Hebrews 11, and then the first two verses of Hebrews 12. And then we're going to exhort based on whatever I read or whatever God puts in my heart. And then some sports commentary. Tigers, what happened last night. And Tigers did have a game day today. Got done at 4 o'clock. I don't know what the score was. So, Annie, if you could look that up. But don't tell me until later when I get ready to do it, because I don't want to get distracted. But we're going to do that. Love the Tigers. And then NBA last night in that Rockets versus Warriors game. And then tonight's matchup with the Eastern Conference Finals, Cavs-Celtics. And that is generally what is coming tonight, along with your phone calls if you want to call in and chime in and let us know how you think the show's doing. Now, listeners, if you have friends, family members, I strongly encourage you to tell your friends and family members about the show. You know, if we have a family gathering this weekend, talk to them about it. It's an online radio show. Generally, the show runs on every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night live. We generally start at 6:30 p.m., and we generally go to, say, generally between 7:45 and 7:55. So we're generally looking at an hour 15 or so to about an hour and 25 minutes that this show runs. And the idea of this show is that I'll come on here and I'll read the Bible, talk about God a bit, you know, exhort and stuff. And I'll also talk some sports, give the latest sporting news, as ultimately sports talk is what I most want to get into as a long-time career. That's why I do these analyses of these series and why I give insight from time to time. And the Tigers haven't been doing so well lately, so I might have to do by Tiger Insight within the next couple shows. That can change, though, based on their performance, if they can start doing better between now and the next show. But we'll have to wait and see. But, folks, here's kind of the how to listen. And here's what you can tell your friends and family members. So what you do is really simple. You go to blogtalkradio.com. That's B-L-O-G talkradio.com, all one word. And then you'll see a search bar. In the search bar, you type in Upfront Entertainment. And here's what's going to happen when you click on that Upfront Entertainment thing. It's going to be something pretty cool if that happens. And that is, you're going to get there'll be a link that you can click on, and the link will be to Livin' Large. And Livin' Large is the name of our channel. And we've done over 150 shows now. And we're so proud of what we've done, what we've put together. It's been fun. We love it. But you can get on the website, hit that follow button, and you're going to get notified whenever we're getting ready to do a show. And so it's a great system. Also, it is a very smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone, always. And we have all our previous episodes archived, so you can go back and listen to them. And then we also have a telephone number that you can call in, and we can talk about generally anything you want to talk about. We do have a couple of rules, but I'll get to those after I give the telephone number. And the telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. And then you'll listen for the prompts.
Okay.
What Annie? Folks, listen for the prompts, and then when prompted to do so, you can press 1. And then what's going to happen after you press 1 is you're going to go through a call screener. Then you'll get to my assistant who's sitting over here, and she's going to let me know that a caller's calling, and then I'm going to say go ahead, and then you'll be on the air. You can talk to me, and we can talk about generally whatever we want to talk about. We can pray live on the show. You believe in for prayer for whatever, we can pray. And it's just an awesome thing. And so we strongly encourage you, call in. Please. We love callers. And so call in. But we do have two really quick rules that I will explain rather quickly. Rule number one, the show is not a political talk show. There are decent talk shows that I could recommend you listen to if that's what you're looking for. If you want to hear their insight, what they're thinking about America and the issues. And these are people like Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, Laura Ingraham. And there's a certain local station here, FM Talk 100.5 FM, WSGW. All of these programs you can hear in this particular order. Beck, Rush, Sean. There's another good, solid conservative after Sean. His name is Joe Pags, but generally busy doing this show while that's on. And then Laura Ingraham. Those are who you can call if you want to talk politics. So you want to call into this show and talk politics, what's going to happen is I'm going to tell you to pray for the leaders who have authority over you, and then I'm going to tell you to vote, as this is an election year. So please go out and vote in your primary if that's still coming. In the case in this state, it's coming up on August 7th. So I will be voting. And then in November, the big day, please go out there and vote. Get your voice heard. And so, rule number two. This show is a family show. And so, we want everyone to be able to come on, listen to the show, and feel. So we ask you that you keep your content, whatever you want to talk about, keep it appropriate for all ages. And generally, that's what we're asking for, is just to keep it clean. We want God to be proud of what we're doing. And so that's why we want to keep a filter on it. So with that, I'm going to get into a word of prayer for the evening. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the show tonight. I thank you that you bless me, Lord, tonight, as I teach tonight from the Word of God. I ask that you bless these listeners, Lord, wherever they may be listening, whatever device they might be listening on. Bless them. Encourage them tonight. Strengthen them tonight, Lord. Just pour out your spirit among them, Lord. And if somehow they've joined us by accident, somehow, just let them stay on here, Lord God. And I just claim, Lord God, that these people who do not know you, Lord God, I claim that they would find you tonight, wherever they are. And Lord, claim that you strengthen me tonight in my voice, and you just use me. Help me say what you would have me say tonight, Lord God. And I hereby make my confession over the show that I make every day. I claim that in the name of Jesus, that finances come to the show. I claim that the show is blessed with increased listenership. I also claim, Lord, that sponsors come on who want to help me. And Lord, in addition, I claim that I am blessed with new equipment, so that we can make the show as good as it can be. And give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn in our Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 22. And while you're turning there, I just want to remind you that this show is not just a show where a guy's sitting here reading some verses. No. We want you to be a part of the show. So generally what this means is, when we study the Bible, you study the Bible. If I sing, you sing. If I pray, you pray. I just raise my hands to the Lord somehow and be quiet, you do that. And that's how we're going to get the that's how you're going to get the most out of the show, is by participating. And so, as I always like to say it, whatever I do here at McDonald's, You do where you are. As we are going to Numbers chapter 22. All right, I have found it, so I'm going to read. You go ahead and catch up in your Bible. Then the Israelites traveled into the plains of Moab and camped along the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, son of Zippor, he saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was terrified because there were so many people to feed. Moab was filled with dread because of the Israelites. The Moabites said to the elders of Midian, "This horse is going to lick up everything around us. As an ox licks up the grass of the field." So Balak, son of Zippor, who was king of Moab at the time, sent messengers to summon Balaam, son of Beor, who was at Pethor near the river in his native land. Balak said, "A people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the land and have settled next to me. Now come and put a curse on these people because they are too powerful for me. Perhaps," and I'm just moving something, just untangling something real quick. There we go. "Perhaps then I will be able to defeat them and drive them out of the country. For I know that those that you bless are blessed, and those you curse are cursed." And the elders of Moab and Midian left, taking with them the fine for divination. When they came to Balak, they told him what Balak had said. "Spend the night here," Balaam said to them, "and I will bring you back the answer the Lord gives me." So the Moabite princes stayed with him. God came to Balaam and asked, "Who are these men with you?" Balak said, "God, Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent me this message. A people that has come out of Egypt covers the face of the land. Now come and put a curse on them for me. Perhaps then I will be able to fight them and drive them away." But God said to Balaam, "Do not go with them. You must not put a curse on these people." The next morning, Balaam got up, and he said to Balaam's princes, "Go back to your own country, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you." So the Moabite princes returned to Balak and said, "Balaam refused to come with us." And Balak said, he sent other princes, more numerous and more distinguished than the first. They came to Balaam and said, "This is what Balak, son of Zippor, says. Do not let anything keep you from coming to me, because I will reward you handsomely and do whatever you say. Come and put a curse on these people for me." Balaam answered them, "Even if Balak gave me his palace filled with silver and gold, I could not do anything great or small to go beyond the command of the Lord my God. Now stay here tonight as the others did. I will find out what else the Lord will tell me." That night God came to Balaam and said, "Since these men have come to Simson, you go with them, but do only what I tell you." Verse 21, "And Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and sent for the princes of Moab. God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat her to get her back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between two vineyards with walls on both sides. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat her again. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, and he was angry and beat her with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" Balaam answered the donkey, "You have made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now."
Okay.
Sorry.
We're
going to
call Sam, okay?
Okay.
You don't want to.
No, we're going to. It's fine. It's fine. The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden? This day have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "No," he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times?" "I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me." The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If she had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now. But I would have spared her. Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. I did not realize that you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, if you are displeased, I will go back, he said. And the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but speak only what I tell you. So Balaam sent with the princes of Balak. When Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at the Moabite town on the Arnon border, at the edge of his territory. And Balak said to Balaam,
hello.
Hello, preacher man.
Hey, man, what's happening?
Not too much right now. I'm just reading the Bible here on the show. Reading in Numbers 22.
All right. What do you need me to do?
Nothing right this minute. But we're good right now. But I'm still reading, so let me just find where I was. Relax, heard Balaam was coming. He went out to meet him at the Moabite town on the Arnon border at the edge of his territory. And Balak said to Balaam, did I not send you an urgent summons? Why didn't you come to me? Am I really not able to reward you? Well, I come to you now, Balaam replied. But can I say just anything? I must speak only what God puts in my mouth. Then Balak went with Balaam to Kiriath Huzoth, and Balak sacrificed cattle and sheep, and he gave some to Balaam for the princes who were with him. And the next morning, Balak took Balaam up to Bamoth Baal, and from there he saw part of the people. And then, so now we're going to Hebrews 11. Thank you, Jesus, for the word of the Lord.
That's a pretty serious story right there. There's a pretty serious story about Balaam and Balak, isn't it?
Yes, it's very, very serious. The one part of it I think is funny, that God actually opened the mouth of a donkey and was able to make the donkey talk.
Yes, sir.
I mean,
yes, sir.
I don't know why. To me, that is funny that he could actually open a donkey's mouth.
Well, God can do anything. God can do anything. And that's one of his creatures. And he was built to be a servant of Almighty God. And I think the other thing it states is that's how much the man who was actually a prophet was not listening to God.
Because it'd be like, And for all you know, if God wanted you to do something, he could put something in the way of 75. If I was trying to go somewhere, he could put something in the way of 75. Somewhere.
Yep.
Like that path thing, you know? That's why I was saying 75, you know? Like
yep.
he could have put something there. But
you know, it reminds me of that story Dr. Berkeley tells of the member of the church there that God told him to pull off the road. Remember that story? They were going down the road
now.
And pull
this car over now.
And when they did, the gravel train tipped over right next to him. I mean, that's why we got to listen to the voice of God. Fine tune it, learn it, figure it out.
We have to. We don't have a choice. We didn't some time ago, but we certainly don't have it now.
Yeah.
We have to. And the day we live in, you know. And thank God that certain people stayed home on 9/11. Otherwise, more people could have died.
Yeah. Yep.
And I just, so thank God somebody had discernment.
Well, it's like the prophecy that Dr. Summerall gave so many years ago when he said it'll become important that you hear the voice of God so well that he'll be able to say, run out of this building now because it'll blow up. And how many stories did we hear that was exactly like that from 9/11 where God just said to somebody, leave this office now. And they didn't know why, but they just left. And, you know, and their lives were spared.
But they didn't have a job anymore. But at least they knew the voice of God enough.
Yeah. Yep. And the story of Balaam and Balak is a interesting story because he did know God's voice, but
he wasn't obedient.
He wasn't obedient, and then he ended up. He eventually taught Israel to sin, and God rebukes him in the New Testament for that.
Oh yeah.
And I like the one statement he made, and that is, there is no witchcraft against the covenant. No divination against those who have a covenant with Almighty God. And
no, there's not.
The enemy can try what he wants, but if we're walking with God, God's going to always keep us safe.
I'm all done talking, though.
You got to keep reading. Hebrews chapter 11, that's next.
It's good that you gave your sense, but folks, by now you have, folks, had enough time to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and if you're not there, well then, catch up. I was going to say I'm going to find a way to send you all to new membership school, but I'm just kidding. Okay. All right, folks, we should now be there, so now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients were committed for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man. And God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world. He became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And by faith, Enoch, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. And all of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised, but they only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had time to they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. And by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and he gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days, and by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, she was not killed with those who were disobedient. What more shall I say? I don't have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the fury of the flames, and he escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battles and routed foreign armies. and women received back their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, and they refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and were put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They were destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Now the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, so since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. All right, folks. Preacher Man was talking a few minutes ago before I read. And I'm going to reinforce this a bit in the exhortation tonight. Brother Lester Sumrall, one of Dr. Barclay's fathers in the faith, he said, there will be a day where you will have to be able to hear the voice of God that tells you what to do. And he used an example. People heard on 9/11, they heard God say, multiple people heard God say, don't go to work today, or get out of this building. It's going to be destroyed. If you're still in here, you probably won't make it, you're not going to make it out alive. So obey me or die, basically. So they end up getting out. Had these people not left, or not left late for work, I think we would have had even more casualties. It's pretty much a guarantee that we would have had more casualties. There was a guy at the church where this happened. God told him miles earlier, pull over. I'm not sure how far exactly, but God said, pull over. And he said, he heard a little voice saying, pull over. Like, huh? I'm not pulling over. Pull over. I got to get to work. Pull over. And he's thinking, and all this. And then God said, pull this car over now if you want to live. Okay, the if you want to live part. But, maybe not the if you want to live part, but he says, yes, Lord. So he pulls his car over right in front of him. A gravel truck rolls right over. And it could have hit him had he not obeyed God. And it could have been fatal. But he obeyed God. You got to be able to hear the voice of God when he's instructing you on things. And you got to be able to act quickly can't play around. You know, you have to be paying attention to the voice of God. And I choose to obey God. I'll use another example. We'll say I'm at Cedar Point and I'm in line for the Raptor or something. Yeah, we'll say it's the Raptor. So we're in line. They get up. We get up there. And then I get told generally, you know, they're like, okay, you're good to go. So me and who I'm with, me and all of us, we go and take our seat. I hear a tug. I hear something. And this is just a sinner. God said, Rivers, grab your crew and get off this ride. If I know it's God, I'm not going to argue. I'm going to say, let's go. And if they say, you know, aren't you going to ride? Then I would say, you know, I was told to get off. And then we'll say a bad incident happened and people got hurt bad or something. God forbid that anything like that would happen on the Raptor or on any ride anywhere else. But I'm just using that to say, Christians, we have to get to a place where we can hear the voice of God and not just do, you know, specifically what the Word of God says. You got to hear the voice of God, too. Yes, preacher. But we got to get there to that place because we are in the last days. And you never know. One wrong button push from one of our leaders could just put everything to Armageddon. And so, this is a good reason why you have to make sure you're right with God. And, folks, for all we know, the world could die. Well, you know, the rapture could happen tonight. Will you be one of those that is ready? And will you know, do you know, that if the rapture happens tonight, that you will go to heaven and see the Lord? Or will you not be ready and end up being here for the tribulation and be forced to have to either take a bullet for Christ or suffer in hellfire forever because you chose to deny him? I'll tell you what choice I'm going to make, and I will strongly encourage you to make this choice. I choose to be ready for the rapture. And to meet Jesus in the air. Praise God. And you got to get things right between you and God. And We can help you get saved and stuff, but ultimately, there's things that you got to take care of between you and God if you're not right. Now we can help you, and we can pray with you and help you, but I cannot ask God to forgive you your sins necessarily if you're the one who did it and endangered your salvation. It's between you and God. I can help you and stuff, but if you want some prayer, you want some help, please call the show. You can call us at area code 215-383-3810. Again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. And then you listen for the prompts, and then you press 1. And then we'll pray with you. We'll help you. Because we are in a serious day and age and want to make sure that you're going to go to heaven. And so, Lord, I thank you for this word tonight, for the word of God that was brought forth as we read about faith tonight, as well as that story on Barak. Thank you, Lord God, for that warning tonight, that warning that you and that powerful lesson that we all have to get to a place, Lord, that we hear your voice trying to direct us. Thank you, Lord God, that you will help every one of us in this area so that we can have a more keen, discerning ear to your voice, Lord, as we live in the last of the last days. And I just thank you that your hand is on all of us. And I thank you that you keep us safe over the long holiday weekend and that you guide our paths, Lord. And we will use your wisdom. If we listen to your voice, we're going to do what you say, Lord. We're going to be wise. We're going to. I'm going to, at least. But I thank you, Lord God, that every one of us will take this word to heart. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, Miracle Man.
Yeah?
Can I say something about Memorial Day?
Go ahead, Preacher Man.
Because many people have lost the importance of Memorial Day, and they think it's a day for picnics and cleaning up graves, you know, the headstone of your families, and that's all good, and that's well. But it originated as a holiday, or not as a holiday, as a day of remembrance. It wasn't even a holiday. A day of remembrance for those who have given their lives in service. So we have Armed Forces Day, where we remember the Armed Forces. We have Memorial Day, where we remember those who have given their life. And we have Veterans Day, where we pray, where we honor our veterans. That's in November. And I encourage people that not only on Memorial Day, but every day, that you, anytime you see someone who looks as though they're a veteran, to walk up and shake their hand and tell them thank you for your service. Even today, right now today, I met a young man who was a Marine that fought in Fallujah when they delivered Fallujah from the hands of the insurgents. Had no idea that this young man had fought in that. It was just a brutal battle. He was able to say thank you. It's important that we do this, as Dr. Barclay has taught us so well. If honor's within you, then honor will come out. But,
yep.
But many people are afraid to step up and voice that honor. And I want to encourage everyone to get past your timidity and stick your hand out and shake the hand of a veteran. Let me tell you a story. Can I tell a story?
Yes.
I was here in North Dakota for about 2 weeks. And it was Sunday morning,
yeah.
And I was waiting for church. And I was going to an Assembly of God church then. And so I stopped at this restaurant that has a big Sunday breakfast buffet. And just amazing. And I got my plate of food and sat it down. And I noticed the man at the table next to me had a World War II veteran hat. And as I always do, and as we all should do, I just walked over and shook his hand and said, thank you for your service, sir. When did you serve? That's the statement you make. Thank you for your service. When did you serve?
Yeah.
That gives them the ability to say, thank you, and I served here, and now you have a conversation. It's a simple process. You know what the old guy said to me, Miracle Man? He said, Are you eating all by yourself today? I said, well, yes, I am. He said, well, you pick your plate up and come right over here and sit at the table with my wife and I. And he told me all about his life. As important as the honor is the fact that inside of them, they say, somebody noticed that I did something selflessly for this nation. And
yeah.
You and I can very simply, by just recognizing a hat, a shirt, a bumper sticker, a license plate, and say thank you to those that have served. Listen, I really want to say this, and I say it with the greatest of humility and compassion. Don't walk up to someone who's lost a loved one in a war and say, happy Memorial Day. That's not a happy day for them. Because that's a day they remember the loss of their loved one. That's not a happy day.
Right.
But thank them for the price that they paid for our freedom. Yes, most definitely. You just look
that's
at them and say, thank you. Thank you. Because to say happy Memorial Day means you're happy that somebody died.
Yep.
Well, men and women will die because as long as evil's on this earth, good people are going to have to stand against them. But that never makes us happy. That never makes us happy. And so in the middle of it, just honor them and say thank you for your service to our nation. And don't hesitate. Even I, after all these years of doing it, sometimes I hesitate. And just don't hesitate. Just walk up. Hey, I've shaken some people's hand and said, you look like a Vietnam vet. And they look at me and say, nope, never served. And then you know what I say? I always say, well, aren't we glad that those men served and we have the opportunity to honor them? And they will always say
yeah.
Yes. And yeah. It's just a way to say, get out there, enjoy America. Nothing wrong with having a picnic. Nothing wrong with that. But remember that Memorial Day is in honor of those who have given their life. Go to a parade. Go to a memorial service somewhere and show your respects for those who have served. and be a part of showing honor in America. And we won't lose our great nation to those who are so dishonorable to honor and respect, and all of it goes on. And anyways, thank you, sir. Appreciate you letting me say that.
All right.
And so, I have one more thing to say.
Go ahead.
In the midst of listening to you read the Bible and everything you've said, I've drank at least 20 ounces of Dr. Pepper.
And I'm sure you also heard what I said last week when I said that Coke stepped up to bat, hit a grand slam. Dr. Pepper went up to bat, got a full count, but then it struck out on its last at bat.
I love you, man.
Love you.
I love you.
And so, folks, all right. So, folks, with that sports liner, it is time now for some sports. Last night, the Tigers played a decent game for the first few innings. It was scoreless. They had only given up one hit through several innings, and we're doing a good job. Suddenly, though, some things happened, and the game opened up, and the Twins were able to beat the Tigers by a score of 6-0. So not looking that good. They've lost 5 in a row. And either they win today or do they lose? Tigers. They played earlier. Sorry, folks. We're just waiting to see what happened earlier today with that game. I was at mine.
4-1.
All right. Tigers actually did salvage a win in Minnesota. They won 4-1. Nonetheless, they did lose 5 games in a row, but now they won one. And so that's good to see. And now the Tigers are coming back home to play this weekend. Is it the White Sox they got starting again on Friday, or who?
No.
Or is it Boston? Red Sox.
What? Tomorrow, what do you mean?
Friday. Tigers. Starting Friday, Tigers. Because they come back home. I believe it's Boston. Oh, it's wrong Sox. It's Chicago White Sox. They start a series with the White Sox, so hopefully they can grab some wins in that series over the weekend so that they can start working their way back up a bit. Hopefully we can get some of these hurt players back too so that we can start hitting the ball a bit better. In basketball news, last night, the Houston Rockets edged the Golden State Warriors by a score of 95-92 at the Oracle Center in Oakland, California. So, what does this mean? It means that the series is tied 2-2. Game 5 will be tomorrow night in Oakland before they go back to Houston for Game 6 and 7. I think Golden State's going to win this in 6 games. 7 games. Cavs, I think they play tonight. I think they're going to win the series in 7 games over the – no, I think the Celtics are going to win their series in 7 games as well. I really do. And so, folks, before we go, I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. Say that no flag shall come nigh us. Our immediate loved ones, we're going to be in great peace and great joy. I say no flood, no drug driver, no drunk driver, no rapist, murderer, no suicide, no fire, flood, crash, no sickness, no disease. None of this evil stuff is going to come near you. And we're going to be in great peace and great joy. And I sure love you. And remember, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see you next week.